not formed. You know? Just coming out in pieces. Not the measure of the stature of the fullness. A tragedy. That's what it is. They are those who preach this gospel, not this gospel, but those who preach the other gospel, or the gospel I'm thinking of, you know, false gospels, evil workers, dogs. How many, you know, they talk about all the abortions in the world in the literal sense. If they could only see all the abortion that's going on in church. And most of those places are also places where they rail against abortion. It's like, you know, you've heard that it's wrong to have an abortion, and that's murder. I say to you, whosoever shall preach the gospel, well, whoever shall deviate from the gospel that I preach, is causing abortions in the hearts of men. Verse 11. Well, wait. Verse 10. Let's start with verse 10. We'll continue through several verses. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is an interesting passage. It's beautiful. You know, the whole point, what is all this striving? We want to be through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We want to be found having that righteousness. Why? That we may know him and we may know that power. We know when he appears, we're going to be like him. We want to really know him. And we want to know that power, that resurrection power. Rise from the dead. Rise from your graves. You know, I want to know what that power feels like to get up again from the dead. That's got to be exhilarating. Whew. And the fellowship of his sufferings. There's that word koinonia again. Third time. I think there may have been other times when it wasn't translated fellowship. And maybe I missed it. But in each chapter I noticed that he's mentioned fellowship. Again, the fellowship of the fellowship of the Spirit, right? He mentioned in the last chapter, and in the beginning, he was talking about, you know, the fellowship in the gospel and the Spirit, and now the fellowship of his sufferings, that we might have that in common with Christ. We suffered as well, because to be like Christ ultimately means to suffer. And to die. And to raise again. That's why Paul says, I don't count myself as totally perfect. That doesn't mean he's saying, I sin every day and often. Because you could be without sin and you're still not perfect. You're still not perfect. You still don't measure up to the stature of the fullness. Because Christ's fullness leads up to his ascension into heaven. You know? So there is an aspect to which perfection... You may have perfection of one thing or the other, but total perfection cannot be attained without resurrection. That is complete perfection. You know, because there's lesser forms of perfection, and those aren't as interesting, really, as total perfection. That's why, you know, I think Paul's like, I don't count myself to have apprehended. Apprehend is like to lay hold on something, to apprehend, you know, or to attain. You know, I want to attain, I want to... lay hold or arrive at, in a sense, it means the resurrection of the dead and be made conformable to his death and the life again from the dead. He's saying, this is the humble mind. The humble mind See, the proud mind says, I have attained. I'm already perfect. Honestly, I don't like to let that roll off my lips. Yeah, you know what? I don't drink anymore. And the righteousness which God gave, and every gift of God is perfect, okay? When you receive something from God in truth, it is perfect. The work is perfect. You know what I mean? Meaning when it's finished. Meaning it's like, okay, I drank for years. That was a work happening in my life. And it was also something crippling and awful and not good. But when he delivered me finally, the whole work of that was finished and perfected. Okay? But I don't count, though those works are made perfect in me. I don't like to talk about myself as being perfect. I'm perfect. It just doesn't seem to me like the way I like to, I don't like to let those words roll off my tongue so lightly. Because if you consider the Paul talks like this, and he's a man who's saying, hey, if fornicators, drunkards, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Don't let these things be named among you. Don't be sinful like that. Walk this way. Do this. Do that. Paul, one of the most exacting men in the entire Bible as far as like, this is the way it's got to be. And he's humble. Humility of speech. You know, that's why Jesus, you know what? Jesus was good. But he said, well, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. That's humility. See, he was good man. Don't be mistaken. But he said, why do you call me good? Because that's what good men do. They're humble. I like this. That I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. See, he takes hold of us so that we may take hold of the thing which he is taking hold of us for, which is the resurrection of the dead. I want to take a hold of that which I have been taken hold of for. Meaning the whole purpose of Christ taking hold of me was that I might attain perfection and the resurrection of the dead. And I follow after, man, because I want to get a hold of that. I want to get on that wagon, man. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know, I fully laid hold on all this. But this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, wait a second. He just said, if anyone had anything to glory in the flesh, I mean, so he's talking about his past. See, that doesn't mean you can't.